We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift will be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our radio today is sponsored by Joyce and Jim Fouts in honor of those who served and have served our country. Our special music this morning is God Bless America. Our scripture this morning is on page 1051 in your pew Bible. It's from John 3, 1 through 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one would perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter the second time into the mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows whenever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can that be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Our sermon this morning is Water and Spirit by Pastor Angel Abshar.
I came upon Jesus quite by accident. We didn't travel in the same circles, so it is highly unlikely that I ever would have met him socially. But one day, out at the marketplace, I passed by and I heard him talking to a group of people gathered there. And it seemed to me as if he was really making a difference in their life. I am Nicodemus. I am a professor at the University of Jerusalem. I am also a Pharisee. A Pharisee is one of 6,000 of a group that governs, one that tries to keep the law. I am on the judicial council. The judicial council is made up of no more and no less than 70 people at one time. So it carries a bit of weight and prestige with it. Both the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin have tried to stick to our Jewish laws rather than the occupying government of Rome. As I walked by and I listened to Jesus, I noticed that he was having a greater impact upon people than what my colleagues and I could possibly ever have. You see, he wasn't using great big fancy words. And his conversation, his storytelling, wasn't cluttered by tons of theology. And he was telling of a relationship that he had with God from personal experience. It attracted me. I wanted more. I was so fascinated by this young teacher that I went back to my university and I asked my colleagues that we should invite him here so that he might teach of some of his teachings here. They scoffed at me. They laughed at me and said, "How ridiculous, a street preacher coming here to our university. The cream of the crop, the most educated, and you're asking to bring a street preacher here. Do you not know that those street preachers are rebellious? Do you not know that he would be here only a day and he would cause problems among our students?" Well, I could see their point, and besides which, they told me if I valued my position at all, I would stop listening to him. But there was a hunger deep inside of me, and I wanted to hear him. So I went into the marketplace, and I stood by various places, pretending to look at things the merchants were selling, as if I might buy them, so that I could hear him teaching of the love of God. I could hear him teaching of the Spirit. You see, in our language, there is a play on words. The word for Spirit and the word for wind is the same. And he talked about this great and mighty wind and how it changes us from the inside out. And I stood staring at the merchandise, pretending that I was only going to purchase something so that it would not seem as if I was lending to anything that this street preacher might have to say. I've already told you that I am a professor of religion. In fact, Jesus had already heard of me by my reputation. I've already told you that I am also a member of the Judicial Council, the Sanhedrin, and that I am a Pharisee. We are a strict religious party that stands for all of the good in Judaism. We are not so interested in politics. Politics tend to corrupt people. We are the separated ones. That is what the name Pharisee means, separated from the sinful ways, from the ignorant and the uninformed people who do not keep our laws. We take our religion rather seriously. Our scribes for centuries have been working out the implications of the law of Moses so that there is a ruling for every conceivable situation in which a religious person might find himself. We Pharisees have memorized those regulations and those laws and committed ourselves to keeping every single one of them. You can understand how some of my Pharisee brothers might have felt then. If anyone is going to meet God, if anyone's going to make it with God, it's going to be us Pharisees. After all, we try the hardest. We made these laws and regulations, and we hold to the letter of them. And we're not asking any less of you. But there were some ideas that Jesus had which I wish to pursue in more depth. But I feared going and talking to him and what it might mean to my position at the university, let alone what it would mean to my brother Pharisees or on the Judicial Council. So I decided that I was going to go and visit him by night and have a conversation with him. And you know, he welcomed me, but I kept thinking, what would people think if they saw me? What would people think if they heard me? After all, I was a professor of religion. Just by me being there and asking him questions, I could become doubted. And I did not want that in any way. Yet, in spite of all this, I became satisfied to listen to him. The first thing that Jesus said to me was that it was necessary to be born again in order to go to heaven. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born anew. I didn't understand how this could be accomplished, but as an old man, I was all for it. If I could be young again, I was all for it. But I asked him, how is it that I am to be born anew? I cannot crawl back into the womb. He told me that I was to be born anew, that I was to be born from above, that I was to be born of baptism, of water and of spirit, of God's holy work upon me, changing me, that I was to surrender myself unto him so that I would truly know God. You know, I don't remember if it was him or if it was one of his associates there, but they said something that still sticks with me today. They said that God gave his one and only beloved son so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. A chill ran through my body, and I cannot forget that. eternal life. Life with God. He talked as if he knew God. Imagine that. He talked as if he had a personal relationship with him. And I decided then and there that there was nothing in my spirit that would be satisfied without that depth of personal relationship for myself. It is often from the lowest of our attitudes that we become convinced of things that should not be, that we allow life itself to dominate us. In fact, we often operate as if life is all about satisfying ourselves, our own ego, our own needs, and our own passions. But this Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher taught of another way so much more satisfying. He taught to put others before ourselves. He taught to be truly whole and truly healed. We must lay ourselves down before God the Father. Here, we had been paying such detail to every little word that had come from Moses' mouth. The Torah, the Pentateuch, we followed it to the very letter. And this Jesus opened up a whole new world for me, that I would love him, and through him I would see the Father. Just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man shall be lifted up. He said that. Who is this Son of Man? All I really understood after listening to him for about an hour is this Son of Man would give us wholeness, healing. This Son of Man would help bring us together. This Son of Man would give us peace. And I asked again, how? How do I get this peace? How do I get this feeling of satisfaction? And you know, the word that he used for lifted up, it was another one of those words that have a double meaning. And I thought for sure that he was talking about the Son of Man being exalted in power and glory. And no, he was talking about the Messiah, the long-awaited one. The one who we had thought was coming in power and glory. That this Messiah, this one who had a personal relationship with God, would indeed be lifted up, but not in power and glory, in humility, upon a cross. And that his dying words would be, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is indeed humility. And I began to realize that this Son of Man, this Messiah, this Holy Anointed One was none other than Jesus who sat in front of me. And I listened to him the whole night through. But then, before the dawn could come, I went back to the university, for I did not want anyone to see me. And his teachings began working on me and changing me. And when it came time for him to be lifted up in humility to die a terrible death upon the cross, I no longer feared what others might say. I knew that I needed to be there. And when he had passed, I no longer feared the Sanhedrin nor the Pharisees. I treasured all that Jesus came to live and tell us about. And I had no problem being one of the ones that took him down off of the cross and gently wrapped him and brought him to his resting place. All my life, I thought things had to be moderated just so. And what Jesus came to teach me was that religion is not a set of rules. Religion is not laws to be followed. Religion is divine mystery, divine knowing, a change of heart, something that touches me so very deeply that I no longer fear being an outcast in my society. Something that touches me so very deeply that everything that I had studied all of my life, dedicated my life to, now seemed to not matter. For the only way that I was going to be satisfied was by being born anew, by water and spirit. Beloved, baptism is not an act of our own. It is our response to God in obedience, but it is His work of grace upon us that changes us from the inside out, that gives us a hunger and a desire to know Him more deeply. And we can renew that feeling at any time we like by rededicating our lives to Jesus. The way, the truth, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus the Christ. Once upon a time, I would give credence to other people's beliefs and say, well, maybe it is the same God being called all different names. Now I've learned that I don't need to argue with someone. I don't need to disagree with someone. I don't need to trash their beliefs. All I need to do is to represent Christ in me and stand up for His beliefs that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way to God the Father, the only way to being born anew. Is the law of Moses still important? Yes, it is. Every part, every single part of the living word is still important. Some of it was written to an audience in a context long ago, and we need to read it through that filter. When you pick up the word of God, you first read it to the audience that it was written to, in the context that it was written to. Then you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you anew, to give you a fresh word. And He will. He will. I've always told my kids that the Bible has juju. I don't care how many times I read the same verse. There are times where I find something new in it, something just a little bit deeper. When I am born anew, or when I am reminded of my new birth from above, I am then totally in love with Jesus Christ, with His living word, with His living Holy Spirit, and I allow it to guide my life. When I get my humanity out of the way and He enters into me, He does a radical change in me, and I am able to do things that I cannot do on my own. There are some things that I cannot forgive on my own. There are some folks that it's a little bit more difficult to be kind to on my own. But once I am satisfied with that rebirth, with that change, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I then can treat everyone as Jesus Christ treated people himself. I love the story of Nicodemus. I think that he's given a bad rap by going in the middle of the night to go see Jesus. But he went. That's the important thing. He actually went. And he listened to what Jesus said. And just a short time later, he was able to stand by Jesus' side as he died. He was able to be one of the ones who took him to his dwelling place. I think all of us get caught up in whatever it was we were taught when we were young. The letter of the law, the doctrine that we learned as children, the things that we were taught in Sunday school. And as we grow and we study the word more and more, it becomes more evident to us that the only thing that really matters is a one-on-one relationship with the living Lord Jesus himself. You can believe what you want to about some of the details that have been spoken here, but just the same as that snake was lifted up, and we were asked at that time in faith to look upon the bronze serpent and we would be healed. When we look upon Jesus Christ in faith today, we will be changed. We will be healed. We will become whole. There's a final statement from that late night conversation. There are several thoughts and several statements with which were new to me. For example, the declaration, God loves you. You see, my religious training caused me to picture God as a righteous judge who demanded obedience. And all my life, I waited for him to smote me if I did not do the letter of the law. I waited for punishment by death. I could not envision God loving, but the only response that I could envision was him loving me for right conduct, not for my heart, not for my desire to be with him, not for my prayers, and not for my love for him. You see, God first loves us. We are drawn to him. And many people grew up with a punitive, punishing God. And they are waiting to do the slightest little thing and be punished by it. I'm so glad that I know a loving Lord who accepts me for who I am, who accepts me when I make mistakes, who drew me unto himself that I might have life to the fullest, that I might have life in abundance. I am so glad that my response to Jesus' teaching was that God first loved me and that he seeks to interact with me.